Hi, this is Virginia Voice volunteer Paula Dessel. Welcome to our reading of the Wednesday, April 23rd, 2025, Mechanicsville Ashland Local, which is published by Richmond Suburban Newspapers. Our first story today from the front page, Hanover names Harris as new deputy fire chief, by Peyton Kifas. Hanover County has appointed Beano Harris as the new deputy chief of Hanover County Fire EMS, effective May 1st. Harris joins Fire EMS with nearly three decades of service in public safety, and most recently served as assistant fire chief in Prince George's County, Maryland. His years of experience include working in emergency management, fire investigations, interagency cooperation, operations, and strategic planning. We are very fortunate to have someone with Deputy Chief Harris's breadth of experience join our department, said Hanover County Fire EMS Chief Christopher J. Anderson. His background in managing complex incidents and major public safety initiatives will be invaluable as we continue to enhance our services to the community. Harris recently directed operations in a jurisdiction covering 499 square miles. And managed resources for 45 stations with over 300 personnel. He has worked as a fire investigator, bomb technician, and canine handler, and was assigned to the FBI's Joint Terrorism Task Force. Throughout his career, Harris has received various awards and recognitions, including the Silver Medal of Valor and multiple citations for meritorious service. Harris holds an associate's degree in fire science from the College of Southern Maryland and a bachelor's degree in fire administration from Columbia Southern University. He is also a graduate of the Executive Fire Officer Program at the National Fire Academy. It is an honor to join Hanover Fire EMS and serve this community, Harris said. I would like to thank Chief Chris Anderson and County Administrator John Badeski for the opportunity and look forward to advancing the department's legacy of excellence. And that's the conclusion of the story about the new deputy fire chief in Hanover County, Beano Harris. Our next story, also from the front page, is entitled Horses Healing Heroes by Peyton Kifas. People who dedicate their lives to serving in the military or as first responders often leave their field uncertain of how to proceed and cope with the difficult situations they've experienced in their careers. According to the United States Department of Veterans Affairs, veterans face a higher risk of mental health challenges than average citizens, and the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration says that an estimated 30% of first responders develop behavioral health conditions. A lot of people that did not come up with the greatest homes often did go into the military, not only to serve, but also for the sense of stability that necessarily we didn't have in our home life, said Shanaz Dayet, founder and executive director of Mended Sparrow. Dayet and her husband Wayne Dayet Jr. both run the Mended Sparrow, an equine assisted services nonprofit on a small farm in Mechanicsville. This nonprofit is taking a unique approach to building supportive life skills and healing from past traumas through equine care and training, free of cost for those who've served in the military. Dayette is a Navy veteran who's had a love for horses from a very young age and has admired their emotional intelligence and ability to connect with people. Dayette served in the Navy from December 1995 to 2012. She was the second woman in her family to join the military and completed several deployments, including a Westpac in 1996, Fallujah, Iraq in 2004, where she was injured in combat, Kuwait in 2007, and a med cruise in 2010. She was medically retired due to her combat injuries in 2012, but these limitations did not hold her back. She earned a Bachelor of Science in Psychology from Regent University in 2015 and a Master of Industrial Organizational Psychology from Liberty University in 2018. Dayette shared that she experienced personal trauma growing up, as well as in service, that made certain situations harder to manage in her own life. However, after taking time to work on herself and process her experiences, these negative events led to the healing and growth that inspired her to want to continue to help others. The Mended Sparrow is a 501c3, a nonprofit organization that specializes in equine-assisted services at no cost. Based in Mechanicsville, the nonprofit formed in 2022, but beginning operations in 2024. The organization seeks to provide these equine services for service members, veterans, first responders, and similarly situated individuals, including nurses, doctors, dispatchers, correctional officers, peer support for trauma, and school teachers. The biggest thing with veterans, military, first responders, etc., is that they're very task-oriented, said Dayette. When it comes down to stopping and smelling the roses, it's a bit more of a challenge. The Mended Sparrow is not a therapy program. However, they still take a trauma-informed approach while focusing on aspects of life coaching, professional development, and improving life skills and team building while working with horses. We meet where people are at, said Dayette. We won't diagnose or do treatment. When they come here, we meet them where they are in the present moment and work through things on their own timeline. Equine-assisted learning, or EAL, is an experimental, ground-based approach where individuals are engaged in structured, unmounted activities with the horses in three main areas. First, education, building life skills like communication, regulation, and personal responsibility. Second, organizational development, strengthening leadership, team building, and peer connection. And third, personal development, encouraging self-awareness, adaptability, and relationship building. In their first year of operation, the Mended Sparrow provided over 127 services. Dayette emphasizes the benefits of this unique personal growth practice is that it takes people out of their regular, more stressful day-to-day environments and immerses them in a quiet, natural space to process what they've experienced and their feelings. This designated time for grounding and connection helps foster opportunities for self-reflection while completing different tasks with the horses, while the Dayettes also leave space for open and judgment-free communication. You can come out here, whether you're first responders or military, and it's a completely different atmosphere. It gives you the opportunity to decompress, but you're still learning, and it's an aspect of personal growth. This hands-on program seeks to provide opportunities to, quote, learn by doing, unquote, in a safe environment, and then be able to transfer these skills into other areas of their lives. It's your experience of what you want to get out of it, said Dayette, regarding what participants can expect from the program. I am the co-facilitator, guiding you along and asking questions, and then, in turn, you are either interacting with the horses or, from proxy, and having time for self-reflection of skills learned, and that bridges over into your day-to-day. Their mission is to create a safe, timeline-free environment for these individuals and their families, where empowered growth and strengthened connections are formed through providing care for the horses, riding and guiding them through various courses. We're all human, and if you have so much stuff going on in your brain, it's always nice to have an outside source that's completely unbiased, and that lets that person stay in the driver's seat as they're going through the process, without labeling them, but walking with them in that journey, said Dayette. Although the program focuses on service members, select services are also available to the public for a fee, with all proceeds going towards supporting the programs and ensuring they can remain free for those who served. We want those who may be struggling to know that there are other ways of seeking help without feeling like you have to tell your whole life story 3,000 times to somebody that you don't feel is really listening on the other end, said Dayette. Seeking help is all about finding the right fit, and coming here, you get to be yourself and reset your nervous system out in nature. The Mended Sparrow will have a farm tour on May 18th from 3 to 5 p.m. Call 804-845-0536. That's 845-0536. Or email contact@mendedsparrow.org for the address. That email address is contact@mendedsparrow.org. The Mended Sparrow is also currently looking for advisory committee members. Those interested in applying may visit www.mendedsparrow.org. And that's the conclusion of the story about the new nonprofit Mended Sparrow and Horses Healing Heroes. Next up, a recap of the Hanover County Planning Commission meeting by Peyton Kifas. The Hanover Planning Commission gathered for a meeting on April 17th. Board members Fred McGee and Larry Ledbetter were appointed as new Planning Commission chairman and new vice chair. During this meeting, the commission voted to approve a conditional use permit requested to permit an auto body paint and repair facility on the south line of Mechanicsville Turnpike, east of the intersection with Brandy Creek Drive. The commission also voted to approve an REZ to permit the conversion of a residence to a professional office on the east line of Chamberlain Road at its intersection with Rutlandshire Drive. Following these cases, the commission approved the Chesapeake Bay Ordinance exception request from Carter Machinery for an encroachment into the 100-foot resource protection area buffer on the north line of Rich Food Road or State Route 1250, east of its intersection with Old Rich Food Road or State Route 1200. This will allow two proposed interior ingress and egress accessways to a new training building across from the RPA for Carter Machinery Company. This approval came with the following conditions. An updated plan should be submitted to the Director of Public Works for approval, with justification for two driveways as well as four other conditions. The commission also approved a conditional use permit amendment request from Hanover County Parks and Recreation to allow additional lighting on an existing dog park in Taylor Park. Then the commission also approved, with conditions, an REZ request from OBS 1 LLC to rezone a property on the north line of Mechanicsville Turnpike at its intersection with Ladystown Road to allow for the development of retail and office buildings. The commission also approved an REZ request from WSE 2 LLC to permit the creation of 48 building lots on two parcels located just east of the town of Ashland. Finally, the commission approved an ordinance amendment to amend the definition of vehicle and equipment storage to include contractors' equipment storage yards. The next Hanover County Planning Commission meeting will be on May 15th, and that's the conclusion of the recap of the April 17th Hanover County Planning Commission meeting. Our next story, 300 bright yellow safety signs appear at Virginia rest areas by Peyton Kifas. The Virginia Department of Motor Vehicles and the Virginia Department of Transportation have announced the installation of 300 new bright yellow safety signs across Virginia's rest areas, urging drivers to, quote, slow down, arrive alive, unquote. The move is intended to raise awareness about the dangers of speeding. These signs are being specifically placed at rest stops throughout the state as part of an effort to promote safer driving behaviors and reduce speed-related crashes. Placing these signs at rest stops ensures that drivers encounter the message at a critical moment when they can reflect on their speed and safety before resuming their travels. This initiative comes in response to troubling statistics from last year. In 2024, according to preliminary numbers, there were over 25,000 speed-related crashes in the state, claiming the lives of 410 individuals. The goal of the Slow Down, Arrive Alive campaign is to remind drivers that excessive speed not only increases the risk of crashes, but also sufficiently heightens the severity of those crashes. VDOT is proud to partner with DMV to display an important reminder to drivers who visit our safety rest areas and welcome centers to make a safe choice of slowing down on Virginia's roadways, said VDOT Commissioner Stephen Bridge. We do our part to keep highways safe and need motorists to take responsibility to keep those around them safe. For more information about safe driving practices and how to prevent dangerous driving behavior, visit the DMV website at www.dmv.virginia.gov/safety/program/speeding. And that's the conclusion of the story about the new yellow safety signs appearing at Virginia rest areas. Next, from the sports pages, Mechanicsville's Kenzie Strohacker, as part of the Sports Backers All-Star Spotlight. This story is by Jackson Didlake. At Mechanicsville High, Kenzie Strohacker is making an impact, whether it's on the swim team, in the classroom, or through clubs. Strohacker has had much success for the Mustangs. She has qualified for 3 state Class 4 state tournaments and been a 4-time Region 4B qualifier. As a junior, she finished 6th in the 200 medley relay. As a senior, she finished 6th in the 100 breaststroke. She also swims club for the Hanover Hurricanes. I swim all year, basically 6 days a week, Strohacker said. It takes up a lot of my time, but now I've started to go to the gym more in the afternoons because I have practice in the morning. I go to the gym twice a week because it's something else to build my muscular strength. Outside of the pool and the classroom, Strohacker is extremely involved in extracurricular activities. Strohacker is a member of the Sports Backers Active Living Leadership, ALL, All-Stars program. The program provides education, hands-on experiences, and mentorship for student athletes over the course of 10 months. Her understanding of active living has evolved drastically since entering the program. I honestly didn't realize how many different programs are out there that you can participate in that are often free, Strohacker said. I didn't realize how much of an impact where you live impacts whether or not you do participate, and just the social impacts on active living. It's been really interesting to learn how being a part of active living can help bring people together to be more active. For Strohacker, her favorite thing she's taken away from the program is learning to participate in new activities. I did a fitness class, but I've never been big into the gym, Strohacker said. I stick strictly to swimming, so it was really fun for me to try something new. I've been getting more into the gym. It's something that's active and good for my body, but also for my mental health. I've really enjoyed having my eyes open to different opportunities. She is the president of the Speak Up Club, a mental wellness club sponsored by the CKG Foundation. It's really important to me because the club focuses on mental health, Strohacker said. It focuses on breaking the stigma behind mental health. That's something very valuable for high schoolers. It helps bring positive coping skills to high schoolers. I really enjoy being able to make an impact in my community that way. Strohacker is also a member of the National Honor Society, Spanish Honor Society, the Beta Club, Student Class Council, and Senior Class Council. She boasts a 4.48 GPA and plans to study civil engineering at either NC State, her dad's alma mater, or Virginia Tech. She would like to join the club swim team. I definitely want to stay involved in the sport and try to stay as active as I can, Strohacker said. I know a lot of times when people go to college, they struggle to find an active outlet, and I don't want that to happen to me. And that's the conclusion of the spotlight on Mechanicsville senior Kenzie Strohacker. Our next story from the sports pages, Atlee and Hanover Go Head-to-Head on Friday Night by Robbie Fletcher. Friday night was full of energy across the campus of Atlee High School as 4 varsity matchups between the Raiders and Hanover Hawks unfolded in a competitive district showdown at the midpoint of their respective seasons. This week, we take a look at the contests, which ended with Atlee victories in boys and girls soccer, and Hanover wins in baseball and softball. First, softball. In an active day at home plate, the Hawks offense showed out in stellar performance as the road team, handing the Raiders an 8-4 loss. The Hawks nailed 10 base hits with 7 RBIs and just one struckout batter, delivering a fiery 3-run sixth inning that helped them push past the Raiders. The Hawks went into the sixth inning locked into a 4-4 tie, which was broken with a ground ball single from C.J. Bournes and consecutive RBI doubles from Willow Dickinson and Kaylee Byers to get Hanover out in front with a 7-4 lead. Hanover's defense kept the momentum rolling out of the sixth inning, responding to an error by snagging a fly out, catching a runner, stealing, and scooping up a ground out to head into the seventh with a 3-run lead. A line drive single from Emma Irwin sent Casey Doty home to add another run to their lead, and Hanover's defense went 3 up and 3 down on the Raiders in the bottom of the seventh to end the game with the team's second win of the week. Sophomore Mallory Smithson earned the win on the hill for Hanover, serving up 2 strikeouts with 5 hits off her in a 4-inning appearance. Mackenzie Skipper pitched all 7 innings for the Raiders, striking out 1 batter with 10 hits allowed. Second, in baseball. In a highly anticipated matchup between 2 teams with 3-game win streaks, it was the Hawks who came out on top in a nail-biting finish, headlined by a game-winning 2-score home run from senior Gabrielle Jenkins. The Hawks trailed 1-0 entering the sixth inning until Jenkins came up to bat, striking the ball thrown by pitcher Noah Yoder and sending it far down left field to send him and Brady Elrod home for a 2-1 lead that had held the remainder of the game. It was a dynamic pitching performance from Yoder and Hanover junior William Hodges, with Hodges earning the win in a masterful 5-inning performance where he struck out 10 batters to help beat the reigning Class 4 champions on their home field. Yoder may have had a late home run hit off him, but he was otherwise fantastic, striking out 9 batters with 4 hits off him in a 6-inning appearance. The Raiders took the lead in the bottom of the fourth inning thanks to an RBI single from Nicholas Gaines, who sent Tyler Rutman home with a line drive down the right field. The Hawks now hold a 4-1 record, riding high with wins over Prince George, Western Albemarle, and CVHAA. Atlee is currently 6-2, with their win streak ending with wins over Verina, Dinwiddie, and North Stafford. In boys soccer, in another down-to-the-wire contest, the hosting Raiders were the ones to come out on top, winning with a game-deciding goal from sophomore Zahid Arifi. Arifi struck the back of the net with 11 minutes to go, with the score tied 1-1. With space near the right side of the 18-yard box, Arifi blasted a shot that flew into the right side of the net, delivering a crushing blow to a Hawks team that tied the game just 6 minutes prior with a penalty kick from senior midfielder Camden Short. Arifi's goal was the only non-penalty kick score of the evening. Atlee got on the board first with a penalty kick just 4 minutes into the opening half, which was taken and converted by Christopher Dodamo. It was a defensive-minded battle from that point on, with Atlee's backline featuring Dodamo, Colin James, and Jet Ekman holding down the fort. Hanover forward Joshua Seifert threatened that back line a few times during the first half, with one shot lifting just over the crossbar, but the Raiders survived into halftime with their lead still intact. Seifert's efforts ultimately earned Hanover their penalty kick opportunity, with a battle in the box sending him to the ground and giving Short a chance for an equalizer. The Raiders responded late, though, and Arifi's finish moved Atlee to a 4-1 record with a 3-game win streak, while Hanover dropped to 3-2. And in girls soccer, in the most dominant performance of the night, the Atlee Raiders attacked early and often, keeping Hanover's defense on its heels for a 6-0 shutout. The Raiders got a dazzling performance from sophomore Sadie Erickson, who achieved a hat trick by halftime and finished the game with 4 goals in total. Erickson couldn't be stopped when she made her runs in the box, starting with a left-footed strike from the right side with 7 minutes left in the half. 3 minutes later, she was back on the board, converting on a run inside the box for a 3-0 lead. And, in the final minute of the first half, she achieved her hat trick, stunning the Hanover crowd with 3 goals in 7 minutes. At least 2 other scores came from junior forward Mackenzie Gathers, who scored the game's first goal halfway through the opening half with a breakaway finish. In the second half, she converted from the penalty spot. The Raiders are a perfect 4-0 to start the season, while Hanover drops to 2-4. The Hawks did have a notably strong performance 2 days prior to their meeting with Atlee, battling back in an extra time thriller to knock off the Mechanicsville Mustangs on their home field in a 5-4 finish. And that's the conclusion of the wraparound on the Atlee and Hanover softball, baseball, and soccer games. Our next story, Local Track and Field Athletes Show Out at Mechanicsville Invitational by Robbie Fletcher. Mechanicsville High School played host to 23 track and field teams this weekend, with many local athletes showing out in a stacked field. The hosting Mustangs had 4 top-3 finishes, all coming on the track from their girls' team. Kendra Jewell led the team with its lone first-place finish, winning the 100-meter dash with a time of 12.44 seconds. The Mustangs also had a pair of second-place finishes from Zoe Curtis in the 300 hurdles and their 4x400 relay team. Camille Williams also finished in third place in the 400 dash event. Hanover finished with 5 first-place results, 2 of which came from state qualifier Jalen Joyner, who won the 200 dash and the long jump, while Lily Zyglock won the high jump. On the boys' side, John Williams aced the triple jump for the Hawks, putting up a 42.3.25 result for a first-place finish. As for the Atlee Raiders, their usual state qualifying suspects stepped up at the local meet, with Tori Goodson winning the 300 hurdles and Mia Bryson winning both the discus and the shot put to continue an outstanding overall season. Their girls' 4x100 relay team also delivered a win, placing first in the race with a time of 49.17 seconds. And that's the conclusion of the story about the Mechanicsville Invitational Track and Field Meet. Here's a short reminder on Ashland Train Day by Peyton Kifus. Ashland Train Day is pulling into the station on Saturday, April 26th from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. in the historic downtown Ashland area. Whether you're a dedicated rail fan or just looking for a first-class way to spend the day, this locomotive-loving festival is packed with entertainment, shopping, and dining that will keep your spirits chugging along. And that's all the time we have this week for the Mechanicsville Ashland Local. This program is on the air every Thursday evening at 7:30 p.m. and again early Friday morning at 2 a.m. You can also listen anytime on demand at www.virginiavoice.org. This is Paula Dessel for the Virginia Voice. Thanks for listening.